Now, hear the good news and be not afraid.
Good morning. Welcome to Be Not Afraid, Iowa Catholic Radio. Father PJ, good morning.
Good morning.
Advent season.
Yeah.
In the thick of it.
Absolutely, absolutely. So let us begin our show in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O God, who made the Bishop St. Ambrose a teacher of the Catholic faith and a model of apostolic courage, rise up in your church, men, after your own heart, to govern her with courage and wisdom. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever, and the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
By the way, how the people have been living the Advent in Christ the King?
You know, things are real fulsome. Obviously, in the thick of preparations for Our Lady of Guadalupe and the novena, confessions have ticked up rather significantly. Of course, like you, we have confessions every day, and that's important. So if you haven't been to confession in a while, or you've got kids home from college or that sort of thing, send them our way. We're happy to get them all cleaned up. But yeah, I think we're just getting ready for Christmas.
And it's very interesting. These saints, St. Ambrose, precede the huge celebration as the Immaculate Blessed Virgin Mary. And also, in an eloquent manner, our cathedral in Des Moines, the patron of the saint, is St. Ambrose.
Have you ever seen St. Ambrose, Father, in Milan?
No.
So my very first assignment as a priest was in Milan, Italy.
Oh, wow.
I was ordained 2 weeks. And
too fancy priest.
Yeah, it? Right. Well, I lived in Santa Maria delle Grazie, which is the church that houses Da Vinci's Last Supper.
Oh, wow.
Now, the Last Supper is not in the church. It's in the refectory, the dining room of the monastery. And that's important, friends. You know, it's a very ancient Christian custom of keeping an image of the Last Supper in your dining room, or maybe your kitchen, wherever the place is that you and your family eat. So the Last Supper was over the big table that the friars would eat at. But down the street was San Ambrogio, which is where St. Ambrose is buried. And what I didn't know until I moved there is you can see him, like he's laid out.
Wow.
He's not incorrupt in the way that we usually mean that, but he has been dead for 1600 years, and so he looks pretty good. The church is the church that St. Ambrose was actually like pastor at, was bishop at.
Uh-huh.
And so it was originally named after these two martyrs, whose names I don't remember. They're older than he is, right? Because they were dead before, because the church is already named for them. But he's vested as the bishop, and the two martyrs are vested as his deacon and subdeacon, and they're all laid out like they're ready to go say mass together.
It's very interesting how you describe that, because one of the main characteristics about St. Ambrose is a very eloquent preacher.
That's right.
Eloquent preacher.
He was known as mellifluous, which doesn't just mean talks a lot, but is it comes from the Latin word for honey. So his words were like honey. They were sweet to the ear, which is why St. Augustine found him so compelling, and why ultimately he was the one who received Augustine into the church.
When you said honey, it's very providential. Beekeepers, mm-hmm. bees, candle makers, the patron is St. Ambrose.
That's right. And there's a lot of debate over the Exultet, that great long prayer that's sung at the Easter Vigil. But of course, there's a line in there thanking the mother bee who made the wax. And there's a tradition that goes all the way back to St. Ambrose. It might not be true, but it does help us connect. And I think every time, you know, if you say a little prayer to St. Ambrose every time you have honey on your toast or something or goes in your tea, then that's going a long way.
Father, between parentheses, why the Holy Catholic Church decided to have a pure candle for the Paschal candle?
Yeah.
What is the meaning of that versus that a chemical, not agriculture or fabricated by bee?
Yeah. So the idea is the symbolism with the bees is very, very deep, right? Because the mother bee sort of organizes the hive. Each of the workers in the hive has their own proper function, much like the church. The father's house has many mansions. The comb of the bees each has their own little cell, and the bees are all responsible for their own cell in the house, as it were. And of course, bees are extraordinarily fruitful. They're prodigious. They pollinate. Like their job is to make. And so the church insists on pure wax candles, especially for the Paschal candle, though traditionally even just for altar candles, because what we're engaged in here is natural, and the nature has been elevated to something supernatural, to something
Beautiful.
Grace.
The same as the sacrarium mm-hmm. that we have in each sacristy. That is that special place to depose the sacred, like holy water or...
Right. So the ablutions from any holy act, right? So whether there's water left over from having cleansed the vessels after they've already been consumed at the mass, or other things, oils or, as you say, holy water, that gets kind of scummy or stuff in it. We deposit things back in the earth because those things which are natural and have been supernaturally graced are restored back to their natural state in order to be disposed.
This is a very interesting clarification because sometimes people presume that we are excessively scrupulous, scrupulous people about it. But is the meaning about each part of the liturgy, in this case, about the candles and the beautiful connection with a honey, a sweetness, manner, house, and Ambrose preaching?
What it does, right, is it, and Ambrose was big on this. Ambrose is one of the great early authorities we have on the liturgy. He was known as a mystagogue, right? So he would preach. You know, the catechumens would be received into the church, baptized and confirmed and communicated at the Easter Vigil. And then for the next 6 weeks, he would preach to them every night. And we have most of those sermons. So we know what the liturgy looked like in Milan in the, you know, late 400s, early 500s, because Ambrose tells us. He goes through almost line by line. And he recites the Roman canon almost directly. So we know that prayer that we still pray at Mass, it goes all the way back. The move here, right, is that the prayer shapes us. We're not scrupulous because God's going to get us if we say the prayer wrong, but we pay attention to it because the prayer shapes our faith.
San Ambrose, pray for us. Iowa Catholic Radio, be not afraid.
What is the best gift ever? Giving a Catholic education is at the top of my list. Your contribution to CTO helps families send their children to our Catholic schools who otherwise could not afford it. In giving to CTO, you receive the best tax credits ever. Pledge or donate online at ctoiowa.org. The bottom line, it's for the kids and their future.
Since 1924, St. Vincent de Paul has been helping those less fortunate work towards self-sufficiency. Last year, St. Vincent de Paul helped over 20,000 individuals with food, clothing, and shelter, while also offering classes in financial literacy, high school completion, career readiness, and prisoner reentry. SVDPDSM.org, 515-282-8327. Shop, donate, volunteer, serve. This message was brought to you by Homemakers Furniture.
This is a Young Catholic Minute.
How can I speak up without shutting people down?
Boy, this one is pretty easy to answer, but really hard to do. The easy part of the answer is that every human being is made to love truth. And so when you share it lovingly, calling them on to something greater that will give them happiness and freedom, that is, as the Bible says, good news of great joy. Unfortunately, we humans have a terrible tendency to do the right things for all the wrong reasons. So if we're sharing the truth just because we know we're right, or we want to win an argument, or want to chalk one up on the old soul-saving tally, we're not really trying to give the gift of Christ's love, so we're using the truth to lie, and that won't inspire anyone. On the other hand, remember that Jesus lived and spoke the truth perfectly, and some people still didn't believe. So if that happens to you, offer your sufferings to Christ, and pray for the grace to get up again. For more Young Catholic Minutes, go to youngcatholicminute.com.
Thank you, Caldwell Parish, for underwriting Iowa Catholic Radio. Conform to the wishes of the deceased and to Catholic liturgical burial traditions. Caldwell Parish Funeral Home, Des Moines' only Catholic-owned and operated funeral home. CaldwellParish.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Catholic Women Now provided in part by Permar Security, a Catholic-owned family business providing security solutions for homes and businesses since 1953. Permar Security, 515-244-5660, PermarSecurity.com.
Welcome back to Be Not Afraid, Iowa Catholic Radio. Father, before the break, you mentioned about this eloquent, disciplined, and harmonious attitude from St. Ambrose in terms of the liturgy. We are approaching the solemnity of the Immaculate Conception. Based on that, what is the main goal about this decoration, solemnity versus festivity?
Mm-hmm. So the church prioritizes or organizes her fasts and her feasts. So fasts always precede a feast. A feast is always preceded by some at least kind of minor fast. And the feasts are themselves graded. We'd know this kind of intuitively, right? So, you know, a 25th wedding anniversary is more important than a 17th. A birthday is more significant than the day that we moved into our house or something like that. And so we graduate the feast that we celebrate. Solemnities are the highest grade of feasts that we have on the church calendar today. And the Immaculate Conception receives that, both because of the centrality of that mystery and the life of salvation, and especially here in the United States, because the Blessed Virgin is our patroness under that specific title.
And so
the reason that's important is because for us here, you know, the Immaculate Conception is a bigger feast than even Our Lady of Guadalupe. Now, Our Lady of Guadalupe, of course, we're celebrating the same woman. It's not like there's one woman who's the Immaculate Conception, right, and a different one who's Our Lady of Guadalupe and another one who's Our Lady of Knock or something like that. They're all the same virgin. But the reason the Immaculate Conception takes priority for us, it does not diminish from Our Lady of Guadalupe. It just frames her in the right way, is because Mary's Immaculate Conception is really what makes the rest of this possible.
And let's move into the certain details, like we use the Gloria for the Immaculate Conception that
right.
is not used in the Advent Sundays as well, and also the Alleluia.
Mm-hmm.
Anything
yes.
else?
Yeah, so the Immaculate Conception gets celebrated, you know, what would make sense for most of our listeners, right? Solemnities get celebrated like a Sunday Mass. So if a Gloria is to be sung, then a Gloria is sung. The creed is recited.
The creed.
And the priest should make appropriate decisions as he prepares himself for Mass in terms of the choice of Eucharistic prayer. The music ought to be appropriately guided so that it's showing that this is a big deal. You know, much like at home, you know, we celebrate naturally in our homes. And as I said earlier, right, a birthday is typically celebrated as a bigger deal than the memory of the day we moved into this house. And so it's both the food, but also maybe the china that we set out, or maybe we use a tablecloth or light candles, this kind of thing. And this is the church's way of doing the same thing. We signal that the event is more important.
It's beautiful how you describe that, because normally in Latin America, concretely in Colombia, we celebrate the First Communion, mm-hmm. the day of the 8th of December. Even for us, Catholics, obviously, day of obligation, but also it's a holiday in Colombia as well. Mm-hmm. So remind my First Communion.
Well, the idea, right, so there were several countries that had the tradition of First Communions on December the 8th, and it's obviously easier to do in places south of the equator, the north of the equator, because in much of northern Western Europe, it's cold, right? But the idea behind this originally was that children, when they receive their First Holy Communion, especially if they receive it right at 7 or 8, if they've gone to confession, they've just immediately gone to confession and they receive communion for the first time, that's like the most immaculate they're going to be, absent their baptism, right? And so there was this beautiful connection between the feast and the event that was being celebrated. You know, the church generally recommends First Communions or Paschal Sacraments to take place during Eastertide, and that's to make the connection to the resurrection. But there are these other traditions, and they, you know, it's like peeling back layers of an onion. They show different vantage points or ideas about it.
And at the same time, Father, it's happening in the heart of the Advent because it's part of the history of salvation. It's not some colloquial description that probably the Holy Catholic Church adequate the calendar for that. No, she's part of this moment.
Right. So the celebration of the Immaculate Conception during Advent really kind of has two origins. Its thematic origin is what you just said, because Mary's role in bringing Christ to birth is central to the history of salvation. The other bit is practically the festival of Mary's birth on September the 8th is very, very ancient, like, I don't know, 4th or 5th century. It's real, real, real old. And people have known for a long time about how long it takes for a baby to gestate in the womb. But as that became more concretely clear, and as the festivals of the birth of both our Lord and John the Baptist became paralleled with their own conception days, it became natural for the church to do the same thing for the Blessed Virgin Mary.
It's true that in the solemnity of the Immaculate Conception, we receive a special pardon for the church, like plenary indulgences.
Yeah, there are indulgences available for the Feast of the Immaculate Conception under the usual conditions. So you need to go to confession and go to communion and be as detached from sin as you possibly can be and pray for the intentions of the Holy Father. But I think that the really kind of the upshot of the Immaculate Conception is to really cause us to look at the role of purity in our life. And by that, I certainly include, but am not limiting to sort of sexual purity and the kind of problems people today might have with things like pornography, but like purity of intention, you know, in my relationships, am I as authentic as I can be? Maybe authentic is a word we can use sometimes to replace purity, but as wholesome, as credible, as intentional.
More honestly, senses and communication to others as well.
Sincero, right?
Sincero, so. Right. Iowa Catholic Radio, be not afraid.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio provided by Savage Power.
On behalf of the InterVisions Healthcare family, we wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. At our clinic, birthdays are an important milestone which we celebrate. Since our doors opened in 2011, more than 1,300 at-risk mothers facing an unplanned pregnancy have chosen life. This Christmas season, join us in thanking God for the joyful blessings and the great work he's doing at InterVisions Healthcare. For more information about our clinics in West and South Des Moines, visit ivhcare.org.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio provided by Blessman International. According to a global food security report, more than 820 million people in the world are hungry today. None of us can help them all, but how about one? One child. Blessman International provides 60,000 children in South Africa with a daily hot meal, place of safety, educational experience, and spiritual development. Learn more at BlessmanInternational.org. That's BlessmanInternational.org. Thank you, Blessman International, for your support of Iowa Catholic Radio.
BeelDeKan Construction. Not going along with the crowd? Will help you stand out in the crowd. BeelDeKan Construction proudly supports Iowa Catholic Radio. BeelDeKan Construction is a commercial general contractor providing pre-construction, estimating, and scheduling services through completion of construction. We can build projects ranging from tenant improvements and historical renovations to high-rise buildings. We build confidence. Learn more about the nearly 40 projects in the Des Moines metro area completed by BeelDeKan Construction by visiting www.bdconstruct.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio is provided by Golden Rule Heating and Cooling. Since 1999, Golden Rule Heating and Cooling has been supporting customers with their rules to live by: respect, understanding, loyalty, expertise, and service. Golden Rule Heating and Cooling is a family-run business, reminding you of the Golden Rule: treat others as you wish to be treated. Golden Rule Heating and Cooling, goldenrulephc.com. Thank you, Golden Rule Heating and Cooling, for your support of Iowa Catholic Radio.
Welcome back to Be Not Afraid, Iowa Catholic Radio. In this coming third Sunday of Advent, we have a very interesting piece from St. Paul in his letter to Philippians. So,
brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord always. I shall say it again, rejoice. Your kindness shall be known to all. The Lord is near. Have no anxiety at all, but in everything, by prayer and by petition with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So this reading from Philippians is also where we draw the antiphon from that gives us the name of the Sunday, which is Gaudete Sunday.
It's
rejoice.
So
right. rejoice Sunday. It's rejoice Sunday. And this is also the reason for wearing the rose vestments. And of course, we rejoice sort of doubly this year, as we also remember Our Lady of Guadalupe, which would ordinarily fall on this Sunday. And so, you know, the sense of joy in the Christian life, you know, the last several weeks I've been leading a book study for people whose children have left the church to try and guide them into conversations over the holidays about maybe how to draw the kids back. And this theme of joy really is at the heart of what a lot of this work has been, because a lot of people spend a great deal of time and energy seeking things that will make them happy, and they have sort of temporary delight, but they don't have authentic joy.
Absolutely.
You know, St. Paul is writing this either during or shortly after a period in prison. And so a man in jail is writing, rejoice always. I say it again, rejoice. And that's not the sort of thing that admits of temporary delight. It's not just regular happiness. There's something deeper and more authentic.
Transcendental. Transcendental. And at the same time, it's a very eloquent comment that helps us to open more the spectrum than this, not to consume Christmas time.
That's right.
Not to materialistic perception and approaching the nativity of our Lord. It's more than that. This rejoice is not effervescent. Is transcendent.
One of the images that I came up with when talking with these parents to talk to their children about with this, right, is waking up in the middle of the night to tend a crying baby, whether it's to nurse or to have their diaper changed or just because they're fussy. That's not delightful. It just doesn't cause happiness in the ordinary sense. But it might be joyful. There might be authentic moments of joy. And especially once the nappy's changed or the baby's fed, holding the child there in your arms and rocking them back to sleep, there is authentic joy there. And it's a kind of joy that can exist when the baby's crying and exists when the baby's sleeping. And that's the kind of thing. It's the reason the martyrs can go to their death singing. And the reason the Virgin, being handed the greatest burden in the whole history of humanity, can say, "My soul magnifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior."
Because produce peace.
Right.
Peace, serenity, tranquility is not agitated hearts. Mm. It's not anxious happiness or rejoices like that.
It's not dependent on the passions. It influences the emotions, but it doesn't depend upon them. And so, which is a very different thing. Usually we allow our emotions to kind of run us. And this is the other way around. We're allowing God to help us run our emotions. It's also telling, of course, that the last line of the reading is the origin of one of the most solemn blessings in the church, right? That the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keeps our hearts and our minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Christ Jesus.
How important is the peace in the heart of the people? Sometimes we do not realize the necessity to have inner, interior peace, to take the right decisions, to approach difficulties, mm-hmm. and be more willing in terms of wisdom and the action of the Holy Spirit to approach our certain difficulties as well.
Even just to suffer well. You know, I think one of the greatest struggles in the life of the church is it's hard to suffer well. I know I struggle with it. Like, I'm not always as patient as I should be in suffering. I think this time of year, people just naturally get sick. This is way before COVID, but people get the flu or they get colds or they get strep throat. They're stuck at home for a few days. That's real suffering. It might not be as intense as, like, cancer or
like
amputation
ICU.
Or something, right?
Yeah.
But it's real. If you don't learn to suffer well with simple bodily ailments, you will not be able to suffer well when you do wind up in ICU. And if you don't learn to suffer well with ordinary daily sufferings, if you don't learn patience in regular just self-denial, then you won't be able to suffer well when things really do hit the fan and you're in real trouble. And so I think Advent is a good time to recall, much as a woman who's waiting childbirth suffers, but for the sake of the one who is to come.
For the sake of the one.
So we now suffer, but for the sake of the one who is to come.
It's beautiful how you describe that, because make my mind and a picture about the nativity, the scene of the nativity, peaceful. Mm. Nothing turmoil, anguish, or excessively decoration like many houses today.
Yeah, right. You don't have to decorate the stable. That's true. That's a beautiful thing. And it also, it focuses on what's most central, you know?
Yes, he is the center.
You spend all day. I remember this with my mother. You'd spend all day. You're contagious, Father. You spend all day decorating the house, right? Or making sure the bows on the presents are just right or whatever. But when the people come over, nobody looks at the decorations.
No,
they're looking
no
at
one.
Each other.
No one.
And if there's a baby,
yeah,
the baby is the most important person in the house.
It's the center.
It absolutely draws us. And so the same thing at the Nativity of our Lord.
And it's beautiful also to encourage our audience to live in peace this Christmas. It's not stressful about the supper, about the decoration, about the gathering. It's more than that. Jesus wants to burn in your heart.
And so, dear friends, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Christ Jesus, our Lord. And may Almighty God bless you all, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Be not afraid. Iowa Catholic Radio.
Be not afraid. Jesus is on the way to encounter you.
Be not afraid is underwritten by Associated Ophthalmologists.